this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday the 14th of June. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday worship today. It's great to be with you. I'm just going to make sure. No, that's okay. Nothing's happening there. I hope you can hear me. Last time I was leading a service, it all went terribly wrong. Then I had a holiday. Thanks for everyone who's asked about my holiday. It went really well. Thank you. I had good rest, although I am now back to being tired, but never mind. We're going to start our service shortly. I hope that you've all had a chance to download, maybe print if that's helpful for you, a service sheet. The only mistake that I've spotted so far, of course there may be more, is that it's not the 14th of February. We're not going to redo 2020. I really don't think that's a good idea. It is the 14th of June. But it is Trinity One. We've entered into the long Trinity season, Trinity Tide. That sees us right through to the end of the year, well, to Advent or to All Saints and Advent. So that is a mistake. I hope you still can use it. The rest of it looks like how I want it. So we should be following that through. So do have that either open in another window or printed off to help you go through the service. Words for the songs should be on the screen most of the time. And as always, if there's any technical difficulties, then please be patient. We are going to celebrate Eucharist, but I've sort of given up trying to go into church. So I did hope to use my green screen, which is just behind this computer here, and do a virtual background. But then I realised that I can't have this camera and this system with Zoom. Lots of technical difficulties. So I hope you don't mind, but we're going to be doing Eucharist with this background. I hope that's okay and it's not too distracting for you. And as we do the Eucharist, we'll just remember that God says this to us all. So, you know, if you see that and you kind of go, oh, what's that about? God looks at you and says, you make me smile. So that's liturgical and deliberate. I want to begin really by just naming the situation in the world. We live in very, very difficult times, very tumultuous, very difficult and challenging, divisive times, where all of us are deeply confused about what is happening and what should be happening, what shouldn't be happening, etc. And at this sort of a period of time, it is good just to gather together as God's people, to admit our own confusion, fears, angers, doubts, all of those things, stepping into the presence of a God who has got a plan. And that plan is to bring about his kingdom. And it is him that's going to do that, not us. Although we are asked to help, we do not have monopoly on truth or justice. He does. And so we gather together as his people, united together and equal in that under his sovereign power. So I want to just read a psalm which is very pertinent for this time. It's 11 verses, but it finishes with quite a famous bit. And I want to just briefly, before we go into worship, briefly sort of just talk about it. And I really do mean briefly. So this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Two things. Firstly, it's interesting to listen to that passage or read it and to see whether or not God is causing the devastation or if he's stopping the devastation. It is both an expression of God's power and God's ability to intervene. And at the same time, it seems to be saying that God is also within the chaos, that God is doing stuff and is actually causing stuff. We're going to be touching on that, or Elizabeth will be touching on that a little later on in her sermon. So it can be confusing. The psalmist is expressing it, but in it all the time is God's power and goodness. And that last bit where God speaks in the psalm and he says, be still and know that I am God. So often we use that as a sort of pastoral, sensitive, gentle, you know, be still, just calm yourself, breathe, you know, meditative. In the Hebrew, be still, literally translated, is shut up, stop, really aggressive, forceful, stop doing what you're doing, stop doing it, just stop it, shut up. And for me, most of the lockdown, and particularly in this latter period, in this last few weeks, that is what has been burning in my heart, this sense of just be still, everyone just stop it. Come on, people, let's just stop. Be still and know that I am God, not you. God says, I am God, not you. So stop trying, stop pretending like you are speaking for me, stop doing all of those sorts of things. Just stop it. I am God, not you. I am exalted among the nations, not you. So stop trying to be exalted. Stop trying to one-up yourself on with one another. Stop trying to exalt yourself. Stop putting yourself on the pedestal. Stop doing that. I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted in the earth. I think I need to hear that a lot of the time. Be still. Stop it, Ned. Shut up. No one cares. They only care what I think, because I am God, not you, Ned. So I thought that would be helpful. And maybe you want to have that open this week, but particularly this morning. So we're going to turn to our service sheet now with our liturgy. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. So let us recognise his presence with us. Let's just take a moment to be still, to stop what we're doing, to stop all the tumultuous feelings inside us, the turmoil. Breathe and just remember, God is God. We don't have to be. We can just rest in his powerful presence. So let's just breathe and be together silently in our different homes. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. So in all that tumultuous nature of the world, and as we breathe in, we're going to worship the God who is immortal, invisible, God only wise. So let's worship together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, you made the world and you love your creation. You gave your Son Jesus Christ to be our Saviour. He's dying and he's living and he's rising, have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We're going to have our first Bible reading now. It is from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46. Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Children, if they are not around the computer, if they would like to gather around, I'd just like to speak to them briefly. I've got some tasks for you and I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to talk really about being scared, about fears. I wonder how many of you have ever been scared. I mean, if we are human, I have to admit I have been scared many times. In fact, even quite recently, I've been quite scared. We can be scared of all sorts of different things. We can be scared of being alone, of the dark, of clowns, bugs, whatever. We can be scared of lots of different things. And that feeling of fear is really, really painful, isn't it? It's really, it stops us from doing stuff, and it takes over our whole mind. It's like it clouds in when we're afraid. It's all that we can think of. And there are lots of things that people are afraid of. They're called phobias. Here are some. I wonder if you know what they are. Acerophobia. It's the fear of food being sour. I don't know if any of you suffer from that. Catoptrophobia. It's not the fear of cats. I thought it was the fear of cats. It's not. It's the fear of mirrors. I mean, with this face, sometimes I am afraid of mirrors. Others are afraid of chopsticks, certain fabrics. I wonder what you are afraid of. And all of these fears that others have, you know, fear of chopsticks or the number 13 or whatever, all of these fears, if we don't share them, they seem silly. They seem stupid. And you kind of go, oh, it's so stupid. Why are you afraid of that? Well, I'm not afraid of that. We've all got fears, and they all seem really dumb. And they all seem really stupid. In certain situations, we just kind of go, why am I afraid of that? Personally, I'm afraid of needles. I hate needles. I'm so afraid of having my blood taken or having to have injections. Now, at times, that is really necessary. You know, I have to have my blood taken. I have to have injections when I'm sick. But I will try my absolute best to not go for injections or for taking blood. In our Bible reading today, Jesus is about to head into something which is really scary. You know, he's going to go and suffer and possibly and probably die. He is really, really scared. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, experiences fear, then it's okay to experience fear. There's no weakness you don't have to feel stupid about it. If Jesus experienced fear, so can we. And he prays. This is a good thing to do when we're afraid, to pray. And Jesus, like most of us, I think, prays the prayer that we really, really feel when we're scared, which is, God, please stop this from happening. Please don't make me do it. When I go for injections or to have blood taken, I pray this so much. And when Sarah was around and she would, you know, encourage me to do it, I'd be like, please don't, I don't want to. Please make it stop. I'm trying to ignore it. We all do that. And Jesus does it here. And he says, Father, please, if it's your will, don't make me do this. I'm really scared. I don't want to do this. And yet it said that an angel comes and gives him strength. Doesn't take the object of fear away. Doesn't take the clowns away, the darkness away, of being alone. But it does. God comes by his angel and by his Holy Spirit to give us strength. Strength to be able to stand up and have the courage to face our fears. And in that fear, and Jesus prayed even more. He prayed and prayed and prayed to have the strength to face what was to come. God is described in the Bible many, many times as our refuge and our shield. He protects us. He doesn't protect us by taking us out of difficult situations. We do have to face our fear, but he protects us by giving us strength and courage to stand and to take what is fearful and to change it into that which is useful. You know, the phrase "do not be afraid" is mentioned 326 times in the Bible. It's really important. Now, we look around the world at the moment, it's a really scary place. And lots of people are acting in very strange ways, which we don't always understand. And let me tell you, I know the reasons they're doing it. They're doing it because they are afraid, just like you and just like me. When we're afraid, we do silly things, we do stupid things, and it can be so sensible, but from the outside it looks so silly. In those times when we are afraid, I encourage you to pray, and to pray that God would be your refuge and your shield, to put himself in front so that whatever comes at you, you can still be in that place, but that it won't hurt as much. In olden times, medieval knights and kings and all of those sorts of things, they used to have those shields, and they used to paint them with what's called a coat of arms. And because they had all the armour on and all the protection on, no one knew who was who. So they would have a personalised, you know, an individual's coat of arms on their shield so that people would know who it was by their shield. And on that shield, they chose certain symbols and things that represented things that were important or significant to themselves, to remind them of who they are, to state what kind of person they were or that they wanted to be. So you should have on your... you should have downloaded... Let me show you this. You should have downloaded this from the website. I want you to design your own coat of arms. I also gave a website which helps to identify certain symbols. So, for example, I'm just scrolling down to find them. If truthfulness was important, they coloured blue. Blue was for truth, for truth and justice. If peace was important, if that was something that they wanted to be or to have, then they would use white on their coat of arms. All different colours. So on that website, it will explain those. You might want to search further for that. Animals, lots of coats of arms have animals, lions and dragons and unicorns and all those sorts of things. And animals also symbolised sort of personality traits, characteristics, courage. Lions were for courage. Bees, bumblebees were for work, for hard working. An eagle was a symbol of leadership. Symbols such as crosses and fires and hearts and stars were all used on their coats of arms and on their shields. So I want to invite you to design your own and have fun with it. Do a little bit of research. Maybe a parent will help you find the right symbols for you. What is it that you want to be and to have in the world as we go out into the scary battle that's raging around us, to stand firm with God? Most importantly, what is it that we want what we want to be is to be like God and to be like Jesus. So maybe something on that shield, that will help you to remember that God is your shield. So if you want to go off and have fun playing with that and designing that, we'd love to see photos. So do send them in as always, and we'll show them at the end of the service. Great. We're going to enter into a time of confession. Confession is really important at the moment, particularly in a world where everyone seems to be pointing out everyone else's faults and trying to bring people down and take them down and point out all their many faults and dismissing them because they've said the wrong thing or they've thought the wrong thing, etc., etc. It's really important. Just some of you may have read my post yesterday, but it's really important at this time just to humble ourselves and to remind ourselves that we all of us fall short of the glory of God. So we're going to confess together. So let's pray. God our Father, in your love you welcome us as your children. Through your care, you have shaped the universe. With your mercy, you hear our prayers. Hear us, your children, as we come before you in worship. Jesus, our risen Master, in our weakness, you call us. In our confusion, you teach us. In our troubles, you offer us peace. Meet us, your friends, as we come to hear your word. Spirit, living one, in the beginning you breathed life in chaos and darkness. You brought hope. In many tongues you spread good news. Transform us, your people, as we open our minds and hearts to you. So on the service sheet, will you join with me with the confession? God, loving Father, Son and Spirit, we come. Yet we know we come with doubts and fears. We know we come in ignorance. We know we have failed you, your creation and your people in many ways. Trusting in your love, we turn again to you. As we open our hearts to your mercy and forgiveness, grant us your peace. Accept these prayers, accept our worship, accept us through your love. Amen. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And he comes to bring forgiveness and healing to all of our wounds. All of our fears and doubts, he gives us strength by his Holy Spirit. So may you know the forgiveness and grace of God in your life today. Amen. So let's worship God, the King of Kings, Majesty.
Your Majesty.
Oh, it's lovely to hear the girls singing that. Thank you very much for everyone who puts those worship things together. We're going to have our reading now, reading from Acts of the Apostles as we continue to follow Paul on his missionary journey as he heads towards Jerusalem. So Phil is going to read that for us.
Today's reading is from Acts chapter 21, verses 7 to 16. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. After we had been there for a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judah. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Phil. Now I'm going to listen to Elizabeth as she reflects a little bit from her perspective. And I'm going to hand over to Elizabeth.
Good morning. Today I'm going to talk about the next stage in Paul's journey, his plan to go to Jerusalem, and the warnings that this was going to be dangerous. In our reading today, we heard that Paul came to stay at Caesarea and was visited by Agabus, who told him that he would be bound and handed over for punishment. And Agabus doesn't just tell him this, he shows him. Agabus binds his own hands and feet and shows everyone that this is what will happen to Paul, reminding them that this is a message from the Holy Spirit. By showing him, Agabus is telling Paul to take this seriously. This is what will happen. So how would you respond? What would you do if you got a message like this? I think lots of us would say, "Cheers, Agabus. Thanks for the heads up. It's time for Plan B." But Paul doesn't do this. Everyone around him understands that how serious this is, and they tell him not to go. Jerusalem is a volatile place, and Paul is going to be in great danger there. And his friends, naturally, don't want this for him. If I knew someone was walking into danger, I think I would have a responsibility to warn them and advise them not to go. We would be pretty rubbish friends if we didn't do that. But Paul doesn't take the advice. He hears how sincere the warnings are, telling his friends that they are breaking my heart, but he's still going to go. Paul is on a mission to go to Jerusalem, and nothing will persuade him otherwise. So in the end, there's resignation from the rest of the group, saying, "Let the will of the Lord be done." And Paul does go to Jerusalem, and he's arrested and imprisoned. So Agabus was right. But was Paul right? Reading around for this sermon, a lot of the commentary focused on whether Paul was right to go or not. There was a lot of focus on the will of God, and that if it's God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem, and by extension to prison, then should his friends argue with him and try to persuade him not to go? There is one school of thought that says disagreement with Paul's decision is disagreement with the Holy Spirit, and God's will was for Paul to suffer in Jerusalem. Indeed, in Acts 9 verses 15 to 16, Paul's future suffering is revealed to him. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And so, in this reading of the passage, God's plan is for Paul to suffer, and so he must suffer. But there are other interpretations that take issue with this. Is it, in fact, Paul who is wrong and not the desperate friends? Did Paul really need to go to Jerusalem at that moment and risk imprisonment? Or could he have avoided that and done greater work? Let's not forget, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Agabus and his warning. Was this God telling Paul not to go? These commentators see Paul's actions as not doing God's will but his own, ignoring the message sent via Agabus and thinking that he knew best. And to be honest, I disagree with both of these readings. Paul desperately wants to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost, to be with the Jews that will be gathering there from across the Roman Empire, and he wants to tell them about Jesus. Paul isn't stupid. He knows it's risky, and the warning from Agabus serves to reinforce that. But he thinks it's a risk worth taking. And I don't think Paul is going to suffer because God wants him to, and I don't think he's ignoring God's will by going either. He goes because it's the right thing for him to do, and the chance that he will suffer as a result is still a chance worth taking. I don't think Paul is being reckless with the gift of life that God has given to him. He's doing what he believes is the right thing. He knows there is danger, and he believes in his mission more than he wants to avoid the danger. I don't believe it's God's will for any of us to suffer. I believe in a loving God who loves all her children, and I cannot believe that God would single out some for suffering and not others. That doesn't sound like a loving God to me. The God I believe in suffers with us and feels our pain. God doesn't choose pain for us. I can't get on board with God choosing a path of suffering and sending beloved children down it. And so I don't believe that Paul's imprisonment in Jerusalem was what God wanted for him. And God suffered with him and comforted him in his sorrow. The way I see it, Paul's suffering in Jerusalem is a consequence of him doing what he believed in. He could have chosen not to go, and that would have been a perfectly acceptable response to the warning he received. But he felt that he needed to go, even though it would cost him. It reminds me of a quotation from To Kill a Mockingbird, spoken by one of my favourite literary characters, Atticus Finch. He says, "I wanted you to see what real courage is, instead of getting the idea that courage is a man with a gun in his hand. It's when you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway and see it through no matter what." And Paul is pretty much licked before he begins, but he begins anyway, and he sees it through, and he helps to spread the gospel of Jesus throughout the world. So I think he'd say it was worth it. And Paul isn't the only person in history who knew what he was getting into was dangerous but kept on going because it was the right thing to do. With the Black Lives Matter protests of the past few weeks, I've been reminded of Martin Luther King and the beginnings of the civil rights movement in America. Martin Luther King had death threats and attempts on his life. When he arrived in Memphis in 1968, he knew that he was in danger. A few years previously, he'd been stabbed in the chest at a book signing and very nearly died. There were times when he despaired and he longed to go back to his little church and live a less dangerous life. People around him warned him about the danger. The airlines he flew with checked for bombs because of the threats made to him. The amount of venom and hatred thrown his way were enough to make many of us give up. But he didn't give up, because he was doing the right thing. He knew that until God's children were free, all God's children, until black lives mattered just as much as white lives, then he couldn't stop. The night before he died, He gave a spine-tingling speech where he talked about the risks he was taking and how he believed that the tide would turn and black people would be free.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He was doing God's work and working to free God's people. And the next day, while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, Martin Luther King was shot and killed. Dr. King knew he was treading a dangerous path, but he kept on going because he was doing the right thing. And the movement achieved great change, but over the past few months, the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery are a depressing reminder of how far there is still to go and how strong a grip racism still has. Those of you with an interest in American football will probably know about Colin Kaepernick and his own protests in 2016 about the disproportionate numbers of black people being killed by the police in America. He wanted to make an impactful and respectful protest, and after consulting with veterans groups, he began to take a knee over the playing of the national anthem. It was a peaceful and powerful protest about racism in America, over 40 years on from Martin Luther King's own protests, and it cost Colin Kaepernick his career. The backlash against him was sustained and relentless. He was let go from the San Francisco 49ers at the end of that season, and he hasn't played in the NFL since. He knew what he was doing could cost him dearly, and he did it anyway, because it was the right thing to do. And even this week, you may have seen that J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter books, has been widely denounced and received an outpouring of threats and vitriol, including death threats, for speaking out about women's rights. She has had her own domestic abuse experience splashed across the front pages of the tabloids. J.K. Rowling is not naive. She knew there would be a cost for doing this, and nevertheless, she persisted, because it was the right thing to do. And there are many more examples I could give, but there is often a cost for doing God's work, for doing the right thing, for making a difference in our world and standing up to injustice. And yet, people do it anyway. There will be warnings about dire consequences, but people will hear these warnings and decide that the fight for justice is stronger than the need to avoid the danger. And so I don't think it really matters whether or not Paul was right to go to Jerusalem, knowing he might pay the ultimate price. The fact is, he knew there could be a cost, and he knew he had to do it. He was putting right a wrong in the world, and took great courage in doing so. We are all children of God, and the events of the past few weeks have served as a stark reminder that not all God's children are free. It seems to some people, certain lives matter less than others. And as Christians, we know that that's not true. All lives matter to God. And so there is work to be done to ensure that all lives matter to us. And until black lives matter as much as white lives, until women's lives matter as much as men's lives, until poor lives matter as much as rich lives, until disabled lives matter as much as able-bodied lives, and so on, then we've all got work to do. Not all of us are called to direct action, but I believe we are called, like Paul, to do what we can. And I would like to finish with a prayer for those who are working on the front lines to make the world a better place for all God's children. Our God, who treasures and loves every single one of us, who laughs and mourns and suffers with us, please help us all to share your love and strive for justice in our world. We pray for those who work for justice, who put themselves in danger, who take risks because the work they are doing is costly. We pray for a turning of the tide, for the voices of power to listen to the voices of the powerless, and for a safer and fairer world for all your children. Amen.
Hello. Thank you, Elizabeth. I want to just identify, I know that some people will already be talking about it, as I've seen on the comment section. At this time, it's really difficult not to deal with what's going on at the moment. We at St. Peter's try to be balanced as much as possible, and we are open and we love each other. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that. Helpful things to draw out. Partly about not being afraid to do what is right. Question is, how do we know what is right? The basic is preach and proclaim the good news and the kingdom of God, and to do that even if it is scary. One of the charities that we support do that in quite scary situations in the Middle East, where faith is particularly difficult and Christians are oppressed and are silenced, and they go into those places to proclaim the good news of that. And that's at 7. So we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for protection around that ministry as they engage in real danger and fear. We pray with them and share in that ministry together. So Sarah Clayton is going to lead us in prayers.
Right. Morning, everybody. Right, this morning we're going to be praying for Sat7, and many of you already know that Sat7 bring the hope and the truth and the love of Jesus into the homes and the hearts of people that are in the Middle East and North Africa, and they do this through satellite TV and social media. They've got a really diverse range of programs that they're continuing to do during lockdown, and they're really reaching out to people that are searching for, you know, the God of comfort and the God of compassion in these difficult times. So I'm just going to tell you some of the news that's been going on around the around those areas during this pandemic. So in Sudan, which has been going through years of civil war, Sat7 of them, they've got a program that's called Keep On Singing. And for years they've been singing, you know, praise to God and singing out their prayers to God. And just recently they've been able to sing thanks to prayers that have been answered. Because recently in Sudan, they've stopped any restrictions on going to church. There's no death penalty for apostasy. There's no more FGM. But the economy there still needs lots of prayer. So Sat7 are going to keep on singing for that. In Iran, there's been another huge wave of COVID-19 after the lockdown was stopped. In Egypt, all the hospitals are full. And in Yemen, half of the hospitals can't function properly at all. And the other half aren't even treating COVID patients because they just... it's impossible. They just haven't got the right equipment to do so. Good news. Lebanon's easing up on the lockdown. Churches are open, but politically the country is still very fragile. In Cyprus, Sat7 are now back in offices and studios, which makes their life a lot easier. In Cairo, Sat7 have just started a new program. It's a live youth ringing program, and it shows.
Wrong one. There we go. Great. I'm just going to continue to pray. I'm going to pray the collect for today, the first Sunday after Trinity. We don't often say the collect, but I thought this particular collect for this Sunday is particularly helpful. So we're going to continue to pray before we enter into a time of sharing the peace. So let's continue. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments, we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. So if you'd like to share words of peace over the comments section with one another and it just express that peace through that, we will be worshipping together, singing a song, and I will be trying to set this place up for communion, for Eucharist. So we're entering into that time. So do share the peace as we worship together.
Down. King Jesus.
I'm not entirely sure what happened with the intercessions. I have just gone and checked that all the video got put in, and it clearly did. We will try it again after the Eucharistic prayer, so that Sarah can actually pray for us. I really don't know what happened there, so I'm sorry, Sarah. We will try again with the intercessions after the Eucharist. So if you would join with me on the service sheet, we will we'll enter into this time of uniting spiritually together in spiritual communion as I celebrate the Eucharist and thanksgiving for God's saving power on the cross, which works through our world today. So pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at my hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you. He gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. And bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us, with all your saints, to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes in glory. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. I take this bread and this wine on behalf of the whole church, like an inoculation, although I am afraid of needles, as I said before. This is kind of like entering the body of Christ in one way, but it benefits the whole. So as I receive the bread and wine on behalf of us all, I ask that you would just pray for a fresh infilling of the Spirit to give that salvation and that healing that is so required in his body, the church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have done all that is necessary for our salvation. And you have left your Holy Spirit to guide and to protect. I pray that that would be true for all your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we pray together. Eternal God and Father, whose Son at supper prayed that his disciples might be one as he is one with you, draw us closer to him, that in common love and obedience to you, we may be united to one another in the fellowship of the one Spirit, that the world may believe that he is Lord, to your eternal glory. Amen. I have said I've got notices here, and then we'll go into the worship. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to play the intercessions. Hopefully Sarah will get around to praying this time. So as we have as we begin to look to head out into the world, let's pray. You will have to listen to the introduction again. It's a very good introduction, very informative, but we're going to listen to Sarah praying. Hopefully it will work this time. If it doesn't, I'm really sorry. I'll have to investigate it at another time. Again, please be patient with technical difficulties. So back to Sarah for a second go. It looks like it's paused, and I don't know really how to unpause it. That's interesting. Whilst I work that out, we're going to worship, and then we'll come back to Sarah. I don't know how it's paused or why it's paused. So let's worship God together.
Lord, we stand in the shallows of all you have given. Grateful for mercy, yet hungry for more. For the power of grace to go out from this place to the ends of the earth. We have praised you with passion and worshipped in wonder. Thrilled by your Spirit and fed by your word. Now to fully delight in the riches of Christ, we must go to the world. For you live in the streets of the city. You stand with the weak and the needy. You walk with the homeless and hungry and poor. And your hands are the hands I am lifting. Your voice is the life I am living. Your love longs to meet them, but how will they know unless I am willing to go? Lord, where are you hungry? And where are you thirsty? Naked in prison with no one to care. To give of our best to the poor and oppressed is to give back to you. So cause us to see with the eyes of the Savior. Give us a heart that will love as you love. Courageous compassion in words and in action brings hope to the world. For you live in the streets of the city. You stand with the weak and the needy. You walk with the homeless and the hungry and poor. And your hands are the hands I am lifting. Your voice is the life I am living. Your love longs to meet them. And your hand.
So, I don't know. I don't know whether this is going to work. So, I'm going to try and give it another go for Sarah Clayton. Otherwise, I am really sorry. And I don't know really what to do about it. But yes,
right,
it works.
Morning, everybody. Right, this morning we're going to be praying for Sat7. And many of you already know that Sat7 bring the hope and the truth and the love of Jesus into the homes and the hearts of people that are in the Middle East and North Africa. And they do this through satellite TV and social media. They've got a really diverse range of programmes that they're continuing to do during lockdown. And they're really reaching out to people that are searching for, you know, the God of comfort and the God of compassion in these difficult times. So I'm just going to tell you some of the news that's been going on around those areas during this pandemic. So in Sudan, which has been going for years of civil war, Sat7 of them, they've got a program and it's called Keep On Singing. And for years they've been singing, you know, praise to God and singing out their prayers to God. And just recently they've been able to sing thanks to prayers that have been answered. Because recently in Sudan, they've stopped any restrictions on going to church. There's no death penalty for apostasy. There's no more FGM. But the economy there still needs lots of prayer. So Sat7 are going to keep on singing for that. In Iran, there's been another huge wave of COVID-19 after the lockdown was stopped. In Egypt, all the hospitals are full. And in Yemen, half of the hospitals can't function properly at all. And the other half aren't even treating COVID patients because they just... it's impossible. They just haven't got the right equipment to do so. Good news. Lebanon's easing up on the lockdown. Churches are open, but politically the country is still very fragile. In Cyprus, Sat7 are now back in offices and studios, which makes their life a lot easier. In Cairo, Sat7 have just started a new program. It's a live youth ringing program. And it shows
it done again. I don't know why it stopped there. I'm so sorry. I have no idea what's happening there. I'm going to have a look at the video later on. I am so sorry, Sarah. Forgive me. Notices. People have... Joy has sent in some photos. Please do send in any... coats of arms that the children have been doing. It'd be great to see those at some point in a moment. So do be sending those in to me. If parents, if you've got them, that would be great. So I haven't really got many notices for this Sunday. I'm sort of just padding time until people send in coats of arms, really. Yes, we're sort of looking ahead to opening up the church once a week, perhaps for a short period of time as a place of private prayer, and trying to get the building ready for that. There is sort of conversation about what that might look like in terms of worship in the future as more and more lockdown restrictions are eased. We will at all times be referring to guidelines from the Church of England, not necessarily the government, although sometimes the government do tell us, the Church of England, what we should be, should not be doing, and we will be trying to respond as faithfully as possible. But all of that is just to say, please wait until we give instructions, but we are beginning to look to the future, so please hold that very much in your prayers. Now, what I'd really like to do is, so I'm hoping that she might be able to help me, but I'm going to show you one of the Arnott's coats of arms or shields. Where is it? There it is. Ding. I don't know if that was Maisie or Abigail. So we've got different colours. I wonder whether or not we could hear a little bit about why those were chosen. So Joy, if you've if you could explain that, that would be really useful. That would be good. I think this is the next one. That's Maisie's. So that must have been Abigail's. Maisie's has got cross, I think, and stars, beautiful. And I think these are flowers down at the bottom of the top, and hearts and clouds. Very good. Very good coats of arms there. Thank you very much for that, Maisie and Abigail. I don't think anyone else has sent any in. I hope they're all very pretty. You can send them in later, I'm sure, and we'll be able to enjoy them. Yes, I think that's it, really. So I think it's just time for a blessing, and then we'll head out into our Sundays. Should have had this ready. So, God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Be of good courage, love without borders, share without fear, seek with passion, and pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness, and grow for God's glory in our world. Amen. Have a good Sunday, everyone, and I'll see you next week. Peace be with you.